We're believing that God is going to work. We saw last week, we come to God expecting great things. Are you expecting great things from God in this year ahead? Some of y'all look like, well, you know, I'm just happy to make it out of last year. Well, that too, but we're expecting great things. We're also in a series of sermons. Again, our pastors will be preaching over the next weeks. Pastor Tom kicked us off a couple of weeks ago, looking back to the glory days in the past and in the present, and that what God has done in the past, He is going to continue into the present. I want to emphasize that because I believe it's very important for us to understand that what God has done, He is doing and will continue to do. And what we have been a part of, we have been a part of gospel work around the world. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with a missionary from the Philippines, and we have supported one of the missionaries in his organization for some time. And he shared with me that over the last 37 years, they have documented over 1 million people who have trusted Christ through the outreach of the various ministries that they have. More importantly, he was excited that in their work together over the 37 years, he shared that we've been a part of 150,000 people baptized and brought into the church to be discipled. This is a work that's going on in the nation of the Philippines. We're glad to have been a part of that through one of our missionaries, Mark Buxton. But we're going to continue to grow in that. They are, in turn, training and preparing church planters to go out around the nation of the Philippines, and they're preparing missionaries to go around that region of the world into countries that would be very difficult for you and I to get into. And they go in and share the gospel and are planting churches. Just a few weeks ago, saw in the country of Pakistan, 6,000 young people come to Christ. That's an incredible, incredible part. And that's what we're talking about. This is what we've already been a part of. God's been doing that, but we want to expand. We want to extend our borders. And so that's why I want to preach to you this morning from this text, Isaiah 54, on attempt great things. William Carey preached that great message from this passage. Expect great things, attempt great things. Someone has said that these are six words that could change the world. And I believe that that is true. If believers would get a hold of these six words. But I also want to say what someone else years ago told me. But he that would change the world must begin with himself. And so this is not just a message for us as a church. It certainly is a direction for where we're looking for God to guide and direct in these months to come. But it starts when the people who are the church begin to allow God to put into their heart things that will stretch them. Their work expanded, their worship expanded, their witness expanded, their experience of God expanded and extended as our tent stakes are stretched out. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for us to experience that as a church. But we will experience this as a church when we, the individual believers who make up the church, experience this truth. So hear this morning to us as a body, but hear it to us together this morning as individual believers. Sing, verse 1, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. This seems to be an allusion back to the story, the account of Jacob and his two wives. You'll remember that Leah had many sons, and Rachel said, give me children or I die. And she was barren, and God blessed her. And so the blessing here, the historical part of this is an actual experience of someone being barren. But he's speaking to the nation of Israel. He's speaking to that emptiness and that barrenness that they have experienced. There are those of us who may look on the last year and we look at our more recent past, and we feel like it's been empty and it's been barren. I've heard people say, man, I'm just happy to get out of 24. I'm hoping 25 will treat me better. I know what we mean by that, but it's almost we feel like as if that one tick of the clock, suddenly everything's going to change. Well, let me tell you that clock ticked and nothing's changed. Not being pessimistic, that's just being realistic. We've had some things that have happened in the past, but I want you to see this morning that God says to the barren, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be bountiful. This is not about health and wealth and prosperity. This is about the spiritual blessings and the spiritual work that God does in us, that we are looking for Him and expecting Him to do. And God says, the children of the desolate are going to be more than the children of the married wife. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. To live for Christ means to make His global glory our primary aim, regardless of our vocation. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, God's glory to this earth and around this earth should be our primary occupation. It should be our primary desire. No matter where you work, no matter what job you have, whether it's considered in the traditional sense of a secular job or a sacred job, there is no secular or sacred jobs when it comes to bringing glory to God. Every job, every moral, legal job, I should say, in this day and time, is one that can be done for the glory of God. And so that is our purpose, that is our desire. I want to make Christ's glory known in this world. That should be our prayer. We already have everything that we need. And in William Carey's day, they wondered, are we waiting on some special endowment of the Spirit? Are we, there's be some kind of special equipping for this? And Carey believed, and this text teaches us, that we already have everything that we need. We have the power of God. When Jesus sent His disciples out with the Great Commission, He said, all power, all authority is given Me in heaven and in earth. We have all the power that we need to accomplish what God has called for us to do, the church at large and the church local. And so we have all the power that we need. We have the presence with us. We have His presence. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age. So we have everything that we need to do this, to attempt great things, to attempt great things for God and for His glory. The power of the indwelling Christ for the mission of the gospel is not limited. The power for God to work in you. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So all that I'm talking about this morning, attempting great things in all the areas that we'll think about, it can and will be done, but it must be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. Without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do anything that He has for us to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I won't take the time to talk about all that that doesn't mean. But I will say that it does mean this. Anything God has for me, the work He wants me to do, the work He wants to do in me, and the work He wants to do through me, can and will all be done in the power of Christ. So as we look at this text this morning, attempting great things. First of all, attempting great things starts with the foundation of our task, and that's the gospel. This passage follows Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the great redemption. This passage is the great commission. And the work of the church, the work of the Great Commission, flows from that work of Christ. The work of the gospel is the overflow of the redemptive work of Christ that's described in Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our transgressions. By His chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All of those things speaking about the suffering servant. This speaks prophetically of Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, when the Ethiopian eunuch is riding along in his chariot and he asks Philip if he can explain to him the scriptures, the passage that he is reading is Isaiah 53. And Philip explains it to him and he says, does the prophet speak of himself or of someone else? And Philip is glad to tell him that he's speaking about someone else. He's speaking about Christ. And so this work that Christ does is the basis, the foundation of what takes place in chapter 54. So let me first say to you this morning, if there's never been a time when you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that needs to be the first step of this new year. That needs to be the first thing that you do for you to experience the God expanding our borders and to attempt great things for Him. It begins with trusting Christ as your Savior. Maybe this morning you say, well, I've been a member of the church. That's a wonderful biblical thing to do if you've been saved first. I've been baptized. That's a wonderful thing to do if you've been saved first. I put some money in the offering plate. That's a wonderful thing to do, and it's used to accomplish God's work. But if there's never been a time when you recognize that you were a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person born on this planet falls short of the glory of God. We don't measure up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The wages, what you've earned, what you've deserved, ever since you were born as a sinner, you have done nothing but sin. The wicked go forth from their mother's womb speaking lies. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible's clear about this. And if that's all we've ever done, we recognize that the wages of sin is death. But I love the next part of that verse, Romans 3:23. But the gift is something you don't deserve. A gift is something you just simply receive. And God offers that gift to you today, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He'll say later in the book of Romans that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The faith that is in our heart and the public confession of our faith, that's the message of the gospel. And that is offered to you today. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is receive the gift, repent of your sins, and believe in Jesus Christ that He died for your sins and rose from the grave. You can do that right now. And you don't have to wait to the invitation to do that. It's not walking down this aisle and taking me by the hand. That won't get you anything but a good firm handshake. But it's the faith in your heart that right now, right where you are, you don't have to wait for the end of the service. You can trust Him now. You can come down at the end and tell us that you've done it. Or you can come down and hear more about it, but we would love for you to. But don't leave today without knowing that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That is the message that is the basis of what we do. What we're expanding. Why? Why is that message important? Because the work of Christ is the work that is for all. The Bible says that all were dead in their sins. And all deserve death. All need a Savior. Christ died for all. And all need to hear the message. That's why our task is to get the message to as many people as we possibly can. There's a lot of great things we can do as a church, but our primary task is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get it to all. Why? Because Jesus died. That Isaiah 53, He died for all. He suffered for all. And in fact, it speaks about His inheritance. He speaks about the portion. Because of what Christ did, verse 12, God says, I will divide Him a portion with the great and divide the spoil with the strong. What is the inheritance? The Scriptures tell us that God has given the heathen to Him for an inheritance. He has given the nations to Him for an inheritance. So these nations that are going to come into the tent in Isaiah 54 are the ones that were died for in Isaiah 53. So for us to understand attempting great things, it's a great task when you begin to think about getting the gospel to all. You could become overwhelmed by it. You could say, well, what's the use? There's so many. God's message is to be proclaimed. So, the foundation of attempting great things is in the gospel. Let me give you three things about this. One, it's our declaration of the gospel. This year, by God's grace, we will expand our declaration of the message of the gospel. We're already involved in a number of ways. We do this through missions. We do this through personal witness. We do this through outreach events. We do this through evangelistic ministries. And we want to expand these so that more may hear. We want to expand our mission partnerships. I mentioned one of those just a moment ago. We want to expand our mission trips. We've got this year, and I don't want to take too much away from a few weeks, but our Palooza team, first time going out of the country, going to Canada. For some people, that's not foreign enough, but that's out of the country. Why are we doing this? Just so we can say, hey, we went to... No, we want to take the gospel, and we want to work with churches in that city of Toronto that are peopled and built up of people from nations all around this world. God has brought the nations to this city where these churches are, and we can go and we can help them and share the gospel with their children and with the adults that come. That's a way for us to expand what we're doing. We're not just trying to say we're busy. Look at this trip and look at this trip and these pictures. No, we want to help take the gospel to those places. The Good News Clubs, CEF, our Kid Life, and all the outreach opportunities that we do, Judgment House, and the Easter programs and the Thanksgiving programs. Why do we do this? Why? Because we want to share the gospel. So we want to get the gospel to more people. We've shared the gospel. We've proclaimed the gospel. But we want to continue to do that, and we want to do it to more. We want God to stretch out our borders and expand what we're doing. God may burden your heart to be a part this year. He may stretch you. Some of you experienced stretching last year when you went on the mission trip to London. And God put you on the street having to talk to people face to face. And you love God and you love Jesus. But man, that's a stretching experience. God may not put you on the street in London. God may cause you to cross the street and Dunn to share the gospel. So God, extend our borders, stretch us out, get us out of our comfort zones. Lord, help us to do more. Yes, we've done a lot, and we praise God for the work He has done. He's the one that gets the glory. But God, expand our borders. Our declaration of the gospel, will you be a part of that? Expanding our giving. We'll have a missions emphasis Sunday, Lord willing, in just a few months and have the opportunity to expand what we give. I want to give more to missions. I want to share the gospel with more people this year than I have in any year before. I want to give more to the work of missions this year than I have in any year before. I want God to expand what He is doing through me and in me. And you can experience that too. But not just our declaration of the gospel as we seek to expand our gospel outreach, but also our development in the gospel. It's not enough just to trust Christ and get saved. God says, teach them to be disciples. Teach them to observe all things. So we want to expand what we're doing in the work of discipleship, whether it's with our Sunday school or our small groups. And God's blessing some of these small groups. They're not small groups anymore. They're more of like medium groups now. And they're growing and they're expanding. We're thankful for that. But to be able to develop discipleship opportunities, sometimes in partnership of one-on-one or one with two or three. I love to be able to spend time with a brother in Christ over the Word of God. Why? Because they not only can grow, I'm learning and growing as I study with them. So to have those opportunities, Lord, help us to do more, not just about the conversions. I love what Pastor Lyons told me. He said the biggest thing we're excited about is the number of these people who've gotten saved, but they've been baptized, and they're now a part of a local church being discipled as a follower of Christ. That's our goal. That's our desire. We've not fulfilled the Great Commission when we get them to pray a prayer or walk an aisle. We haven't fulfilled the Great Commission until we have taught them the things that Jesus has taught us to observe, and they are then in turn helping someone else to be a disciple of Christ. God may stretch you this year. God, how can you expand my borders? Who have you brought around me? Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's making the gospel a key part of your family. Devotions are your time together. Making sure that your children hear the gospel. Making sure that those family members around you know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then helping them to grow. Our development in the gospel. Where will you be a part of this? Maybe it'll be being a part of a Sunday school class or a small group. Maybe it'll be finding a brother or sister in Christ that you can team up with to help each other be accountable. As iron sharpens iron, so the face of a man sharpens the face of his friend. We sharpen each other. All of these things. We've been doing these things. We've had Sunday school. We've had small groups. We've had discipleship. But Lord, help us to extend this. We want to see more being saved, so they need to be discipled. And we want to see those who've professed Christ but have never followed in discipleship being brought in to do the same. God, expand our borders. And then not just our declaration of the gospel and our development in the gospel, but our devotion to the gospel. Our devotion to the gospel. Experiencing the glory of God. Not just coming together and hearing some information. Not just coming together and having a good service. But for God's presence to be manifest and experienced in our gatherings every time we come together. Yes, it will look different. Yes, it won't always be the same. But I love when the Spirit of God begins to move and God begins to work and people begin to respond to what God is doing in their hearts. That's that devotion to the gospel. It's coming to love God more. May our prayer this year include this: God, I want to love you more than I ever have before. I want to know you more than I ever have before. I want to experience you in a way that I've never experienced you before. I want us to have revival. I want our relationship with Him to deepen and develop. I want us to experience His work in us, staying gospel-focused and gospel-centered means staying focused on Christ. That's our prayer. That's our heart. That's why we'll have revival services this year. That's why we'll have times when we join together in seasons of prayer like we're doing right now. Why? Because we know it can never be just about a bunch of religious people gathering in the building and going through the motions and walking out the door unchanged, having not been in the presence of God. We want to come into His presence and experience His presence. How will you participate in these? How will God stretch you out? Will you make your spiritual growth, will you make experiencing God a priority in your life this year? You see, our church can only extend and expand in this when the people that make up the church extend and expand in this work. All of this is the work that God does in us. Do you know that God is at work in you? His work did not stop the minute you got off your knees and said, God, I want to be saved. I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior. That was not the end of God's work in you. That was the beginning. And He that began a good work in you will continue it until the day of redemption. None of us have been redeemed out of this world yet. So until we do, God's not finished working. And so we pray. That's the foundation, the gospel at work. Attempting great things, secondly, requires, and we see this in verse 3, it requires the faith of our obedience. You see, it's nice to say, God, I'm expecting great things. Now I'm just going to sit here and wait on you to do it. We don't just expect great things, we attempt great things. Do you see the commands to be obeyed here? These are actions of faith. These are actions of faith. Our faith is expressed through our actions. Look at these. Enlarge the place. In other words, before you start stretching out your tent, you're going to need more land. So enlarge your territory. God, expand my borders, Jabez prayed. Stretch out the tent. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. We don't just expect great things. We have to attempt great things. It is our actions that reveal our genuine faith, and our actions must be in faith. Enlarge the place to make room for what we anticipate God to do. We have to take that step. You know, I've shared this before, and I'll be careful not to step off the platform this morning, but children of Israel, God brought them to two different places. And God brings us to two different places in our lives. He brought them to the Red Sea. Do you remember what happened at the Red Sea? They're penned in. They've got mountains on both sides. They got the Red Sea before them. They got the army of Pharaoh behind them. And God says, Moses, I want you to hold up your rod and the water is going to part. They saw a path. They saw a little path that led to the other shore. Some of y'all would know that, where that's from. They saw the path to the other shore. They could see where they were to walk, and they went in. The waters parted, and then they went in. I would love to tell you, I would love to have experienced in my life that every time God leads us forward, He's going to make the way plain, and then we walk through. I love moments like that. Let me tell you, walk between two towering walls of water. If God tells me, you got it, God, I'm there, I'm ready to go. But God doesn't always, and many, I would say seldom, leads us that way. You see, years later, 40 years later, they come to the River Jordan. And God says, I want you to cross the River Jordan. And the River Jordan's there, and it's flooded, and it's swelling out of its banks. And the priests have the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulder, and they're trying to be careful to carry this Ark of the Covenant. And they come to the water, and maybe they were thinking, Joshua's going to do what Moses did. He's going to hold up a rod, and the river's going to part, and we're going to cross through. But God says, when the foot of the priest hits the water, and when the sole of the priest's foot stepped on the water, then the water parted. You see, sometimes God shows us the way and asks us to move forward in faith, and sometimes he asks us to move forward in faith before he shows us the way. And that's what he's saying here. Where are all these people going to come from? Where are all these children barren? We're desolate. We're barren. And you may look at your life and you may say, God, I don't know where these blessings are going to come from. I don't know how you're going to use me. I'm not trained. I'm not prepared. I don't know what to say. I don't have anything to give. I have nothing. And yes, in ourselves, we have absolutely nothing. But God says that when we take that step forward and we step into the water, then the waters part. God makes the way when we act in faith. And many of the things that we pray for spiritually, I wonder if perhaps God hasn't given them yet because we have not readied ourselves to receive them. He says, you open up the tent. I'm going to do this. We must act in faith. There's a lot of times, yes, we pray for revival. But I hear some people pray for revival and they don't want to prepare themselves for it. I see people that pray for blessings from God, but they don't want to take these steps. We have to act in faith. We act to receive. So we stretch out our... Let me show you one other phrase that stands out to me in this verse. Do you see it right there in the middle of verse 2? Enlarge your tent. Enlarge the place. Stretch out the tent. Spare not. Faith does not hold back. Faith does not hold back. What part of you are you holding back from complete surrender and obedience? We must commit. Spare not. Don't hold back. No half measures. All in. Complete and absolute surrender is what God calls us to. And when we do that and we act obediently, then we see the third thing that God tells us about attempting great things. We attempt great things because of the fulfillment of God's promises. The past had been grim for God's people. It had been difficult. They had been barren. They had been empty. Maybe for some of you this morning, these recent months have been a challenge. Some of you have experienced sickness. Some have had death in your families. You're going through that grieving process. Some are going through spiritual warfare. I have had conversations in the past month with multiple people that are facing a spiritual challenge like you can't imagine. Pray for our young fathers and husbands especially. There are many that Satan is in an all-out assault because they're wanting to live for God and take that challenge, and Satan is fighting them. I will tell you that during this season of prayer, it happens every time. I have led months of prayer for years, and every single time I feel the spiritual assault and spiritual attack during that time. We're in spiritual warfare, and I understand that. We've gone through that time. Some of you have gone through times of emotional emptiness. You've gone through struggles in your family, struggles in relationships. It's been a barren time. You may feel empty, and it may be hard for you to look with faith to what God is going to do. You know God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and you look for that, but it's hard in your heart to get past the bad that you're in now. I want to say to you this morning that all of these things might hold you back from attempting great things, but God in His work, stretch out your tent, Believe God. Attempt great things for Him. Expect great things. Serve, worship, pray, give, witness, go. When we act in faith, He gives the good often in the middle of the bad that we're in. There are those who go through difficult times, and I stood and saw and have seen in this past days families that are in the midst of grief, but they're also experiencing the joy of the Lord and worshiping as they are in deep sorrow. God often mixes the good with the bad. Don't wait for the bad to end to start enjoying the good. God mixes barrenness with blessing. He mixes and can mix sorrow with our joy. He mixes our pain with, at the same time, healing, our loss with gain, our despair with hope, our emptiness with bounty, our lament with worship. You can worship God in the midst of your greatest sorrow. He mixes our weakness with strength, our doubt with assurance, our guilt with forgiveness, our fallenness with redemption, and our shame with glory. That's what God's going to do. And He's saying to the people, look, this is what was happening in the past. In the past, you were barren. In the past, you were desolate. But here's what's going to happen. Your tent's going to be full, and you're going to need to expand your tent, and there's going to be singing, and there's going to be joy. There's going to be God's blessing and God's work, and you're going to see it take place. Do you believe God for that this morning? Do you believe, no matter where you are and what you're experiencing and what you're going through, that God will take you into the future? He has for us a work that He is doing. He is working in us for His glory. He is working in us for His good. We can look forward to what God is going to do. He gives good in the middle of our bad. So will you act in faith? Will you attempt great things? I'm going to ask you in a moment, as we have an invitation, who will come to this altar and just say, bow before God, God, expand my borders, my faith, expand my faith, increase my faith, Lord, expand my prayer life, expand my worship, expand my witness for You, expand my giving, expand my service, expand my experience of Your glory. God, I want You to stretch me out, and I'm going to take the steps that I need to. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to begin to believe for You to do this in my life. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and just kneel at this altar. And this year, as we start into this new year, say, God, I'm all Yours. Stretch me out for Your glory. Father, I pray this morning that You will speak to our hearts. That, Lord, we'll not just expect great things, we will attempt great things. As individuals and, Lord, as a church, open up doors of opportunity for us to step through. And this morning, Lord, we say together, we're Yours, Lord. Stretch us out for